Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, relax here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And a thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, as Matt Heyer said so beautifully on last Friday night, or I guess Saturday night, whatever night it was, I've forgotten now, we ain't going to be building no gingerbread houses on next Saturday because we're playing high school football. And that's what we're doing here today on Straight Talk. Chris Miller is with us, the voice of all the football games. You name it, he's done it. And some guy they got from Northwestern High School that Jimmy Duncan, yeah. You're he's the athletic director, and we have dragged him in here as well. Guys, thank you for being here today.
Happy to be here.
Thank you for having me.
All right, Jimmy, we don't need to know about Chris. Everybody knows about Chris. So tell us a little bit about the background for the legendary Jimmy Duncan.
I think that's a big stretch, but thank you. Yes, sir. So I actually did my student. I went to York High School, graduated from Winthrop. I did my student teaching at Northwestern. So that was kind of my connection early on, and I went to Great Falls for about 7 years. And was fortunate, position came open. I was able to become the athletic director at Northwestern High School 3 years ago as of next month.
3 years ago, next month.
Yes, sir.
So what has the atmosphere been like this week at Northwestern? Is anybody getting anything done besides talking about the football game?
You know, we're trying to keep everybody's head straight. I would use the word electric. I mean, there's a pulse you can feel throughout the building between faculty, staff, students, coaches, administration, bus drivers, custodians. I mean, everybody. I mean, it's a special week for sure.
First time in what, Chris, 7 years?
Yeah, since 2015, Northwestern has played in the state championship.
And for those who don't follow this as closely as we do at OTS Sports, this is no small accomplishment to get to the state finals. I mean, you got your regular season, and you got to do well enough in the regular season to get in the playoffs, and then you have, what is it, four?
It's five. Four to get to this point. You know, the way the high school league used to do it, you would have 11 regular season games and four playoff games. Now you have 10 regular season and five playoff games. So basically your schedule is split into threes. You have five games to start the year. They're typically your non-region games. And then you have your next five games are your region games. Then your playoffs are five games. So one-third of your season, if you make it to the state championship, one-third of your season are win-or-go-home games. And for Northwestern, really, since they played South Point, they've been must-win type games. Against South Point, they had to beat the Stallions to get to the region championship the following week against Catawba Ridge. That was, again, a region championship game. Then, of course, the last four playoff games have been win-or-go-home. So they've been in championship-type games since the third week of October.
So true or false, the non-conference games really don't mean anything in terms of the playoffs?
Correct. In terms of playoff position, you could go 0-5 in that, then win your next five playoff game or next five conference games and maybe end up being the number one seed. That's what Greenville, who Northwestern beat last week in Upper State, Greenville started the year 0-3 in non-region games. They cleaned house in their region, and they end up being the top seed because that's just the way their region's number one team ended up being the number one overall seed. So even though they were sitting at 10-3, they hosted a 12-1 Northwestern team last week.
All right, logistically, Jimmy, here's another week where you got to get the team from point A to point B. And in this case, since they're playing at Benedict College, it's a place they've never been to before. So you try to take a little bit of the edge off of that by doing what?
Yes, sir. So Wednesday, we took three busloads of the guys, including our managers and trainers and everybody, to Benedict to kind of just walk around. Walk the stadium, walk the locker room, walk the field. You know, I had some boys down there making little turf angels, laying on them. I mean, they were soaking up the moment for sure. And then we went to, we were there maybe 25 minutes or so, and we went to Steve Spurrier Indoor there at Carolina, their indoor practice facility, and had our Wednesday practice there. So, you know, just another big experience for the guys, and again, just something else to try to take off that edge for Saturday.
You know, this is, I was saying this in the studios the other day. I didn't realize until somebody told me that this site, Benedict, was selected primarily because of the cost that's being thrown onto the high schools for playing these finales at Williams-Brice Stadium. $100,000, which I think is absolutely insane. And I don't understand why, since that's a public institution, that the university doesn't supply that to you all gratis. Because for these, most of the players that are going to be playing in this game, this will be their last football game. They're not going to be playing at the college level, and for sure they're not going to go on to the pros. So why wouldn't you want them to have this humongous experience of playing in that gigantic stadium down there? I mean, do you all raise hell about that?
Well, you know, I mean, first, I am grateful that Benedict allows us to use their stadium for free. Benedict has came in and helped us out a ton. I mean, obviously, you know, you want the largest place you can play at for those kids for the experience.
Yeah.
But, you know, at some point, finances, you know, financial decisions have to be made. You know, I hope that, you know, one day we could work something out where it makes sense financially.
Well, I don't know anything about the State High School League and how it operates, but it would seem to me somebody on that organization would be pounding the tabletop and saying, this is ridiculous. You know, somebody at the legislative level needs to address this problem and get it fixed. Give these kids the opportunity that they deserve. Anyway.
No, I mean, I think you're right from that standpoint, but it's got to come from the legislative level. Right now there is a cost associated at Williams-Brice Stadium and at Memorial Stadium, Clemson, a significant cost. And in the defense of those two universities, and this isn't a knock on Benedict or one of the smaller schools, but it's a whole lot more expensive to operate Williams-Brice Stadium and Memorial Stadium for multiple days in terms of security, in terms of that type of stuff. I mean, I remember back in days when we had state championships at Williams-Brice, they would have to do multiple security checks involving, I mean, 30, 40, 50 highway patrolmen that would go through there because they have to search the whole place because we live in a post-9/11 world where there's some individuals that could potentially do some stuff, and it's just that stadium is so large.
Oh yeah,
that not only just Williams-Brice, but Memorial Stadium at Clemson as well. They're just huge facilities.
So, just add a positive about Benedict. Due to its smaller size, I mean, we are going to get a lot better atmosphere with our fan interaction into the game. I mean, because you know, we have a couple coaches that's been on for four of the state championships, and you know, they said it sound, you know, like a ghost town. You'd have 10,000 people in the stands at Williams-Brice, and you couldn't hear anything on the field. So, obviously, at Benedict, I mean, I think, you know, we're going to be able to fill the stadium, you know, a good portion of it. So, I'm hoping that just kind of energizes our kids.
And I had an opportunity to be there last year with South Point. I can agree with your statement. I mean, it was just it's a more intimate feeling. It's like playing at Cameron Indoor Stadium, where Duke plays, it seats like 5,000 people versus playing in the Dean Dome, where North Carolina is, it seats 20,000.
Right.
You know, it's just a much more intimate setting. So it is a great opportunity to make it feel exactly like a state championship game should feel.
So, Mr. Athletic Director, I'm sure when this milestone was reached, one of the first things that goes through your head is the dollars and cents involved with this, because you've got to transport students, you got to feed students, you've got to, you know, bus driver. I mean, the list goes on and on. And I know that you're already challenged during the regular season because your revenue stream is basically from the fans. I mean, that's basically where it's coming from. So how did you juggle all those balls?
Well, you know, that's a constant battle, right? You know, cost and expenditure and bringing in, you know, the finances. We have been fortunate that we've had a couple alumni, a couple people in the community that have stepped up to help us out, feeding the teams. And again, some of those guys and girls want to be, you know, they want to be anonymous right now. But I mean, we couldn't do it without, you know, the listeners, people that are listening right now, and the community members. I mean, they've really stepped up to help us. You know, my district office, I've had just about every senior leadership person reach out, hey, what do you need? hey, what, how can we help you this week? You know, so I'm very thankful for all those people.
And that's what makes it happen, community.
Hey, yes, sir, 100%. I mean,
well, I know it's no small undertaking. So what are the logistics? We talked about the football players going down there to kind of walk the turf, not play or not practice, just walk the turf, see what's there. And then you go over to Spurrier's indoor arena over there. Did you get that for free, or did they charge you for that too?
So I will say they charge us because, you know, obviously that would be a – and in their defense, I mean, that would be a recruiting violation because they're in a closed kind of period right now. So that would be some NCAA violation. So I want to be very clear. We did pay for that, you know, so, but we are thankful for them allowing us to use that because, I mean, that does take away from some of their other sports. You know, I think cheer was right after us. Right. So we do appreciate Coach Beamer and his staff allowing us to use that.
All right, so we got the football players, the football managers, all that, anything associated with the actual game. But then you got the business about all the cheerleaders and the band. I mean, how does that all work?
Yeah, so, I mean, we got a great band, a large band. So, you know, we're going to
large enough where they have an 18-wheeler to carry all the stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, so, I mean, it's and that's no small expense either. You know, and they have a great booster club, and Mr. Massey, our principal, you know, everyone's trying to pitch in for this because, I mean, it's not just experience for football. I mean, you know, we keep talking about, and it is the football game, but like you said, the band's there, the cheer's there. We're taking down two buses for students. We have faculty who is pitching in to be chaperones. You know, I talked at our faculty meeting the other day. I was like, I know you guys are so excited about, you know, chaperoning children on Saturday. You know, so we want to thank you for that. But, you know, they stepped up and are helping us out. So, I mean, again, I can't say enough how grateful I am to be at a school like Northwestern in a community like Rock Hill that gives us this kind of support.
So you're going to wake up Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. And all this is going to be running through your head, everything that you've been working on this week. What is your biggest concern outside the weather, which should be pretty well based on what we're seeing? What's the biggest concern that you have as you get ready to go on down there? I mean, did I think of this? Did I think of that?
Yeah. You know. So, you know, I'm a checklist kind of guy. I write things out, and, you know, I think I went through it like 15 times already. I'm going to go down before the team. So, you know, just to make sure that we're there, I have people stationed back here in case we forget something.
Uh-huh.
Last minute, I can have someone bring it to us, taking extras of everything. I mean, like you said, there's a million moving parts. And, you know, been doing this, you know, for a while. And, you know, you're going to miss something. Something's going to happen. But you got to just have kind of like that secondary plan, that plan B, plan C. You know, hopefully not plan D, but you got to have those in place to try to take care of it. You know, but the biggest thing is I just wanted to make sure we get all our fans there, all our subgroups and you know, including our players and stuff, get them there and get that game going. You know, and once that ball kicks off, you finally get to take that breath of relief. And then, you know, you got four quarters to, you know, get crazy, I guess.
All right, Chris, let's go through the ticket information again because – we can't say this enough. How do people get tickets?
So the easiest way I've been telling our listeners all week is if you go to the WRHI Facebook page, we've actually shared the link. That is the link you want to go to that Northwestern gets some of the proceeds from. If you go through the high school league website, it's going to go to one where Northwestern, North South Florence get money from. So if you go to that link that we posted on our Facebook page, Jimmy wants to jump in here. Go ahead, Jimmy.
So I haven't – Chris, I'm going to get on that link to just double check it. But they did – as a Wednesday night – the high school league has shut us down for the $2 kickback that we were getting. So we updated our, because they, for,
God,
I'm not quite for sure exactly what, you know, I'm sure there's a reason for it, but.
Wow. Well, scratch that then.
Scratch that idea.
I'm sorry. So
that, bad information all
so
week
that
long.
Will be updated, I'm sure, on the Facebook page here momentarily. But as of right now, you can go to northwesterntrojans.org, and on our landing page, we do have the updated GoFan link.
There you go.
If you are familiar with GoFan, you can also just type in SCHSL, and that'll bring up the South Carolina High School League's tickets. And then just make sure, like, you're going to see a few games there still left. So make sure that you do pick up the Northwestern versus South Florence game.
God almighty. I definitely got to go to one of these high school league meetings. I would just be out there saying, what are you guys doing? Golly day. Crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Do you get any of the – I mean, well, one other thing is, remember, you got to have a $10 bill in cash to park. No credit cards, cash.
Yes, sir. So if On that Go fan page, you can purchase a digital parking pass as of right now. I think they charge like $1.75 extra. I think it's $11.75. But if you show up to Benedict without that, you will have to have a $10 bill. They're saying they won't have change, and there won't be any credit cards or debit cards accepted at that time.
$10 $1 bills, $2 $5 bills, a $5 and $5 $1s, or a $10 bill. But don't give them a $20. Don't give them a $20.
No $20.
All right.
$20. Yes,
we're going to take our mid-program break, and then we're going to get Mr. Miller back here, and we're going to talk about what we could expect to listen to on the radio as this battle between Northwestern and South Florence unfolds tomorrow afternoon on the OTS Sports Network. All right, you're listening to Straight Talk, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders and by Anderson Griggs Investments of Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. All right, Jimmy, you don't know about this, but the white letters on this cue card, we're going to say them out loud at the count of three because that's what happens here at Substation 2. One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Here's another great catering idea from Charlie Ruffalo at Substation 2.
Well, we have the giant party subs. We make them any way you want, usually like our number 19. They're delicious and they'll feed a crowd.
Whatever your catering needs, Substation 2 has lots of options. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Founders knows you must use your best money-saving strategies to reach your full financial potential, including finding the best interest rates on your credit cards. In our current economy, you've got to make every dollar count. That's why Founders offers low balance transfer rates on all their credit cards. Get the most out of your credit card. Visit foundersfcu.com/cc to apply and save today. Terms and conditions apply. Membership qualification required. Federally insured by NCUA.
Now open, the new Piedmont Medical Center, Fort Mill. Featuring personalized and comprehensive obstetrical services, 24/7 emergency care, and skilled surgeons who know the importance of getting to know you and your family. Piedmont Medical Center, Fort Mill, providing care for the Fort Mill community by your local community. Care that feels like home, close to home. Learn more at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com/Fort Mill.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Don't resign your retirement plan to some rule of thumb. Your own personal retirement is unique to you and your family. Give our common sense investing approach a shot. Anderson Griggs Investments, a genuine money manager right here in Rock Hill. 324-5044 or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
Want something for your next catering that people will really love? Then talk to Charlie Ruffalo at Substation 2.
We have giant party subs made on this beautiful Italian loaf of bread, piled high with 6 meats and cheese, and gardened with any one of our 8 delicious fresh toppings.
Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, and we're talking about the biggest thing to hit the community besides Christmasville, which is, of course, Northwestern High School going down to the State High School Football Championship for 4A against South Florence. Game time is at 7 o'clock. We start our pregame at 4:30. On Interstate 107, and the guy who's going to be doing a lot of that talking, along with a fleet of others who will be there helping him, is Chris Miller. So I listened to your analysis this morning. I found it very interesting to talk about really the historical perspective of these two teams. So regurgitate that, if you would.
Yeah, Northwestern, this is their 12th state championship in school history, so no stranger to playing in this game. They previously won 5 of them. They're 5-6 all-time in state championship games. Their last two appearances, they won. In 2013, that was when Mason Rudolph was the starting quarterback of that team. They went 15-0 and won a state championship. That was Kyle Richardson's first as head coach. And then in 2015, his last year as head coach of Northwestern, They won. Gage Maloney was the starting quarterback on that team. Of course, went on to play at James Madison. They went 14-1 that season. South Florence, meanwhile, this is their first ever state championship appearance. They are historically a bad football program in this state. It wasn't long ago where they were going 0-10, 0-11 in seasons. And what Coach Drew Marlowe has done in his 4 years is just incredible. He's taken a program that was historically a bottom dweller and has them on the cusp of the first state championship in school history. 14-0, they're unblemished, led by Lenore Sellers, a guy who's a Mr. Football finalist, probably going to win the award if it's given correctly. You know, it should be given to the best player in the state, but that doesn't always happen. he's committed to the Syracuse University.
Ooh.
However, the South Carolina Gamecocks have made a real strong push for him lately. I do know that there will be some folks in attendance. Wouldn't be surprised if head coach Shane Beamer makes an appearance down there because they've targeted him. But they were late. They offered him late, so he seems so far committed to Syracuse. But until they sign that dotted line, you got to see what happens. But Northwestern, a lot of firepower for them. Turbo Richard.
2,000 yards.
Yeah, one of the best running backs in the state. He's only a junior. He's already got offers from Duke, Coastal Carolina. I know he's been getting some talk from Clemson and South Carolina as well. Elijah Caldwell, wide receiver for Northwestern's, headed to West Virginia. He's a 1,000-yard receiver, Shrine Bowl selection. And of course, Jordan Knox, left tackle. He is clearly the best offensive lineman in the state of South Carolina, a guy who's started at left tackle. And this is the thing I think people don't realize. There have been players at Northwestern, there have been players at South Point, players at Rock Hill, that have started since their ninth grade year. You know, if we just talk Northwestern, you can name Dupree Hart, Jeff Burris. At South Point, Darion Kendrick. At Rock Hill, Gerald Dixon. So these are guys who were phenomenal athletes. Everyone I named on that list has gone on to big college careers and some even into the NFL. But to do it as an offensive lineman, the second Jordan Knox showed up on campus, not only was he installed as a starting offensive lineman, but left tackle. Left tackle is the most important lineman position on the field because you're protecting your quarterback's blind side. He was installed as a starting left tackle as a ninth grader. So it's unheard of at any level of high school football, let alone 5A, 4A level, which is what Northwestern plays. So he kind of anchors that offensive line.
How big is this boy?
Jordan is about 6'4", about 3'10".
Whoa.
He's committed to Northwestern University as a four-star offensive lineman. So Shrine Bowl selection, and he won the Big 22. He won the Big 20, the WSOC-TV Big 22 award. So he gets it done. So a lot of star power for Northwestern as well.
Well, let's talk about Northwestern's quarterback, because I met his daddy here yesterday, having a big old sandwich at Substation 2.
Yeah, Finley Polk was involved in an off-season competition for the starting quarterback job. Will Madison, who was a two-year starter, was a Mr. Football finalist himself. He graduated, went on. Now he's a quarterback at Gardner-Webb. So it opened up an opportunity, and Finley won it in the offseason as a sophomore. And look, you look at what he's had, the tradition that comes before him. Northwestern's had some pretty daggum good quarterbacks. You know, you go back to Will King. Just the last 15 years. Will King, who went on to play at Furman. Justin Worley, who was a Gatorade National Player of the Year. Mason Rudolph, who now plays for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Gage Maloney, who was a Mr. Football winner. And of course, we mentioned Will Madison, what he's done. So that's some big shoes in the last 10 years that have suited up as QB1 for the Northwestern Trojans. But he's come in. When he's needed to make plays, he can. He has a good arm. He has good vision of the field. And he's athletic enough to run it whenever he needs to be. So I think for a 10th grader, he's played above his age, if you will. But it's a big stage tomorrow. And we'll get to see how much has he matured as a young man. Because keep in mind, this time last year, he was a ninth grader, a freshman, on campus for the first time. So now he's leading, whether he's the quote-unquote leader or not, the quarterback position is always the leader of your football team.
So as I'm listening to you, I'm getting the distinct impression that Northwestern has an air attack and has got a ground game. But South Florence seems to have more of a air game.
No, I mean, Lenore Sellers is a run-first quarterback. The closest comparison I can compare to him is Cam Newton.
Huh?
And what I mean by that, Lenore Sellers is fast, but he's not quick. There is a difference. Lamar Jackson is fast and quick. Cam Newton is fast, but not necessarily quick. The way Cam Newton ran the football, he'd run you over. That's what Lenore Sellers does. He's a big guy. He's got a big, strong arm. In my opinion, and this is not anything, I'm not a defensive coordinator, but in my opinion, if you take away his running ability, I think he's not as good as a passer, kind of like Cam Newton. Once Cam Newton couldn't run the football anymore, he broke down totally. Like, because now you force him to sit back in the pocket and do everything. That's not what his skill set is. So I believe if Northwestern's able to keep his running in check, his passing won't be as good. But he's been phenomenal throwing the football this year. 40 touchdown passes.
Whew.
I mean,
that's a lot.
Let's not sit back and act like he can't throw the football. He can, and he will, but he gets better as a passer when he's able to run the football.
Isn't that something? Wow. So what do you think about this analysis, Mr. Athletic Director?
Yeah, I mean, you could compare him to Cam Newton. I think our coach was comparing him to
Josh Allen.
To Josh Allen, you know,
yep.
Which is an incredible, you know,
NFL quarterback. Oh, yeah, the Bills.
I mean, you know, obviously he presents a big problem when you have to account for the quarterback, right? Like, I mean, that takes away something you don't normally have to account for in defense. So, I mean, no one's been able to stop him in 14 games. I mean, mm-hmm. they're 14-0 for a reason. You know, and one of the guys is, I think one of his favorite targets, I believe, is his brother.
Brother's a 10th grader, yeah.
A wide receiver, so. And it's an incredible team that they have, and obviously, you know, he's a Mr. Football finalist for a reason.
Well, there's going to be a ton of testosterone in full gear down at Benedict College tomorrow. And, Chris, as you mentioned, and we got about 30 seconds left here, look for the early jitters, and that'll tell you what might happen.
Yeah, I mean, easy things to look for in jitters early in a game. Is the moment too big? What I mean by that, are quarterbacks overthrowing receivers? Are offensive linemen jumping? Are defensive linemen jumping? Are receivers dropping the football? Those are things you look for. If those are happening, then some early jitters. And both these teams, my guess is they'll come out and it'll be very vanilla the first maybe series or so. That's typically what you get in a state championship as both sides kind of feel each other out.
But as you said, Northwestern, take the ball if you get the coin flip.
I would. I mean, again.
Make squirrel. Make them catch up with you.
Coach Wofford typically likes to kick, but I want to get an early lead.
All right. It all unfolds beginning at 4:30 tomorrow afternoon on the WRHM, Interstate 107, the OTS Sports Network. And, of course, before then, go enjoy Christmasville. And then when you've had enough Christmasville, get in the car and go down and see the game. And if you can't do that, of course, we'll have it on the radio, and you can listen to it live down there as well. On your app, that's exactly right. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. All right, guys, one more time. Fresh subs and salads 6 days a week here at Substation 2. How do they do it? 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice.
Garden, 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 garden. Have a wonderful Christmasville weekend. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.